That's so Braven. If you don't listen to this podcast, do you know what happens? You get it. Okay. I feel good about that.
Hey, what's going on? I know you don't recognize this voice because it's probably been about 2 months, but this is Ben with the Court of Nerds, and welcome back to That's So Braven. Probably feels like Rick and Morty Season 3, but with none of the fanfare.
And all of the hype.
But yeah, Drew's here as well, as you can see.
Oh, hey, I'm here.
And we're going to talk a little wrestling today, of course, because guess what? We were just at the SmackDown Brands pay-per-view Hell in a Cell this past Sunday. It is Tuesday, October 10th, as we speak. We are going to WWE SmackDown at Van Andel Arena tonight, so any SmackDown talk will be purely speculative and based off the pay-per-view.
Yeah, that's kind of the thing, but with the events of Hell in a Cell and the events of Monday Night's Raw, it was about time for the return of That's So Braven.
Yeah.
So pause your Kenny Omega match on YouTube, shut down the WWE Network for a few seconds, quit watching that deconstructing, reconstructing, overconstructing the Shield documentary you started, and listen the fuck up.
Yeah. Yeah, let's talk about Hell in a Cell first. Let's get that. We were there. Holy crap, that was an experience. I have been to a lot of wrestling shows, a lot of great, a lot of bad, a lot of good wrestling shows. And this was unlike any other because there was a 20-foot high cell.
Where would you rank it in the Ben Raven all-time pay-per-views? Because you've done a WrestleMania, you've done NXT TakeOver. This was your first Hell in a Cell.
This pay-per-view-wise that I've been to, this is number two behind TakeOver Toronto. Firmly in front of a WrestleMania, though. Safely.
Okay. Because this is my
show first quality, I'm saying. Experience, yeah. Not touchable, because WrestleMania was 8 hours long.
It's the show of shows. It's the show of shows for a reason. But, you know, it was my first pay-per-view, and it was the first pay-per-view at the brand new Little Caesars Arena. And, you know, talking to some WWE folks, it just went off without a hitch.
Yeah.
I mean, and was a really good time.
I mean, they punched us right in the nose and said, wake up with that New Day Usos match. I almost combined their names to say the New Dusos.
The Nusos. The Nusos. That was and we kind of guessed that that match would go first because it's been stealing match of the night every pay-per-view for, God, the whole feud.
That thing was, and just as you expect the New Day, they innovated the hell out of it. I mean, give credit to the Usos, do not get enough credit. I mean, they pulled off some great stuff in this too, and obviously they won, spoiler alert, but that match blew me away. I knew it was going to be good. I knew it was probably going to be my favorite thing of the night, but it still exceeded expectations.
It did. I mean, the creative use of an item that hasn't been reinvented in years, the kendo stick.
Yeah.
That kendo trap in the corner. Going to see that again from someone who doesn't do it nearly as well.
I mean, yeah, that was like a ECW moment, that, and then like the handcuffs hanging above the turnbuckle to the outside of the ring and just taking unprotected kendo shots to the chest. I mean,
I saw one review that blatantly said Xavier Woods does not get enough credit as the clear leader of the New Day.
And you know what? He doesn't, because the second I saw Kofi standing on the outside of the cell, I was like, aw, and I take that back because Xavier's awesome.
Xavier really put himself over not only as a good wrestler in that match,
yeah,
but as I, stop me if I'm wrong here, the biggest babyface this side of Finn Balor.
Oh yeah, absolutely. Xavier, without Xavier Woods, the New Day does not exist.
No, and Xavier was really happy about being in West Michigan, which I absolutely love. Is when these guys embrace where they are. Xavier tweeted out, just got into Grand Rapids. First stop is Stella's, per usual, to get one of the burgers and play NBA Jam.
That's awesome.
So super cool that he knows, you know, the spots to hit in this city.
Yeah.
And again, a guy who deserves more credit as a wrestler, as a mic worker, and generally as a guy who pops the crowd.
Yeah, absolutely. Him, I mean, all three of those guys, you could say, are not appreciated enough. And that's crazy to think about because they held belts for more than a freaking year, but Big E is a potential main eventer if he keeps on this trajectory, because I feel like he just keeps getting better in the ring. Kofi could do anything WWE asked him to, I think. I mean, seriously, go wrestle a 60-minute Iron Man match with Randy Orton, or go fight in a Hell in a Cell with the Usos. This guy does it. Go to 205 Live and that guy would do it, you know? You can put him anywhere from top to bottom of the card, and And then, I mean, we haven't even talked about the Usos. And, I mean, they're brilliant right now. They've been around for a while, and they've been around at a high level for a while, and they are out of their minds right now. Say what you will about their characters or whatever, but in ring-wise, these guys are flying, and they deserve those belts.
They absolutely do, and I think that this feud maybe moves on for a little bit until the belts change hands, and then you put the New Day back in the title hunt.
Yeah, give me a big Survivor Series-style match with these two teams.
Here's the best thing about, and I love that you bring this up, the potential of a Big E solo run. You don't actually have to break up or split the New Day.
No.
They're so supportive of each other in general that you can have Big E go on a title run and just have it be, you know, hey, listen, Xavier and Kofi can do whatever they want.
Yeah. When Big E first came up, I mean, not when he first came up, but when he first kind of broke away from Dolph Ziggler and AJ Lee there a couple years ago, wow, that feels like forever ago. He had a little run with the Intercontinental Championship, and he had some good matches, but he got hurt, I think it was. So it's like, I think he's above that. That guy is. We have not seen how strong Big E is.
True. Wasn't he billed in NXT as like the next Mark Henry? They were building him as like the strongest man alive.
This dude does spears out of the ring and can do like a 10-foot jump belly flop.
Dude's ridiculous.
Yes. But yeah, moving on. I mean, that match was unbelievable. And then the rest of the card we can go through pretty quickly.
They farted on us with that Rusev-Randy Orton match.
Sick RKO.
Rusev takes a bump better than anyone gives that fat Bulgarian bastard credit for. He's a hell of a wrestler.
He looks great, too.
He deserves better than what they're doing with him. He deserves better.
He deserves something.
He won't get it, but he deserves
it. He won't.
And if he hears this podcast, he'll know. At least someone out there is having a good Rusev day.
We appreciate you, Rusev.
What was after that wet fart?
God, we don't have to go in sequential order, okay, but Charlotte and Natalya.
Charlotte and Natalya was another wet fart.
That was nothing.
That was a terrible setup match.
I was kind of into that, too, yeah.
Yeah, I kind of thought you'd put Charlotte over real quick.
Yeah,
hesitate to put, you know, to put a lot of people over when they rejoin the roster. You should have put her right over. And then Charlotte's the queen, and she only does her best as a queen.
Yeah, and they're really building her up as a babyface, and that's cool because it won't last because they're going to treat her just like her dad. She's going to be a babyface just to win the title, and then she'll be a heel within 2 weeks. But Natty and her, they can do so much better, and I hope they get another chance, and I hope they completely throw away that script and do something else the next time because from the beginning of that match, I was like, this just feels kind of weird.
It felt off. It felt wrong. Much like Dolph Ziggler and Bobby Roode.
Yeah, yeah.
I wanted so much from that match.
That match got placed on the card wrong because all I kept thinking about was, oh, my God, Kevin Owens and Shane is next. And that's messed up because Bobby Roode's one of my favorite performers. Dolph Ziggler is a great performer. And I don't know. That match.
At one point, Dolph Ziggler was a great performer.
We don't know Dolph Ziggler is.
No, no one does.
We don't know what he is. But that was a whatever. I mean, it was a neat little ending with the roll up, roll up, roll up, roll up, roll up, whatever. And then the Dolph quick attack. That's still going to be going on. But the triple threat U.S. title match. Because those other ones don't deserve a lot of time. That triple threat U.S. title match was awesome.
That triple threat match was insane. The last minute addition of Ty Dillinger. I talked about this with our good friend Austin from the Geekiverse today. True or false, Ty Dillinger had the second biggest pop of the night.
Oh, yeah, absolutely.
I think Dillinger popped bigger than the New Day.
Yeah, he's right up there with New Day and Shane.
I thought it was AJ had the biggest pop.
Oh, yeah, he definitely, yeah.
I would say Ty and then Shane.
Yeah, no, Ty is just so crisp. He can work with anybody, it seems like. And like we were talking about after the show, even with Baron being the U.S. champ, I would like to see Ty and him go at it for a bit. Just because Baron Corbin just feels so stale already.
Baron Corbin needs to make like his hairline and recede. Be relegated to the mid-card jobber that you are destined to be.
I know, I just don't see that breakout potential that I did when he first came up. I mean, yeah, he's got two great signature moves. But
to someone else.
He just always feels like the timing's off. Like, I don't know,
His timing is bad, his mic work is stale. There is nothing about Baron Corbin that makes you go, that's the dude I want to see.
Yeah, I know. No, so, you're right. Yeah.
No, what else? That opening tag team match did not suck.
No. The hype bros.
Yeah, hype bros versus what we've dubbed affectionately American Beta.
Yeah. No, it was good. And Zach kind of teased that he's going to turn heel on Mojo after that match. So yeah. That match was solid. It was solid.
Yeah, I think that's happening. I think the Ryder heel turn is happening. It's the only way you're going to make Mojo Rawley relevant again. And I think they want Mojo Rawley relevant.
Yeah.
I think they might be trying to ramp up Mojo Jinder.
That's interesting.
Well, I mean, Jinder just brought the Gronk thing back up in interviews this week. About having unfinished business. I think we see that. I think it happens.
I'm so confused about where Shinsuke Nakamura, AJ Jinder, Styles fit in right now.
The Jinder-Shinsuke match was a letdown, too.
Yeah, I mean,
mostly because the Singh brothers didn't have matching shirts.
I think we need to give Jinder the Psycho Sid treatment here and give him this era's Shawn Michaels. And say, hey, let's see what you can do with our top performer and throw AJ at him.
Now, I did have a chance to talk to Jinder today, which was unbelievable. Yeah.
How big was he?
He is officially now the largest person to sit in the chair you're sitting awesome. In. He has arms like legs and a voice like a Wolverine.
I do love his voice.
But he basically said he'd love to work with AJ.
Yeah.
You know, he said, well, what's next for me? I don't know. AJ Styles, who knows? Maybe more with Shinsuke. I think the Shinsuke program is done. I think you'll see Shinsuke trying to rehab his image and maybe working against some of the mid-card guys that he knows from NXT.
Let's see some Sami Zayn Shinsuke.
Some Sami Shinsuke. You maybe see Ty Shinsuke working against each other.
We never got that one.
I would love that. And again, maybe you get a battle of the entrances. Shinsuke versus Bobby. Yeah, it was great in NXT. Yeah. I'll see it again.
We need something for Shinsuke because he cannot go backwards. If they mess this up, then they can mess anything up.
Yeah.
And that's
yeah.
Because this is one of those things that everyone in the world's like, oh, they can't mess up Shinsuke.
Right.
But it kind of, he's treading water right now.
All right. I think we got to do Shane and KO real quick.
Yeah. Oh, absolutely.
And then we got to move on from Hell in a Cell because we've still got to talk about the events of Monday Night Raw.
Yeah.
Shinsuke Nakamura losing is weird going into
clean.
What clean going into this Hell in a Cell main match. I don't know how to say this other than the spots were great.
Mm-hmm.
The wrestling itself was terrible. And the fact that they fumbled around on the top of the cage, giving me anxiety attacks for what seemed like 20 minutes.
Oh yeah.
Was a bit much.
That was genius.
Yeah.
They knew what they were doing.
They built it. And again, just bonkers. Absolutely awesome.
It was a spot fest.
It was a spot fest, and we all smarked right the hell in.
Absolutely. That's how you have to approach Shane McMahon matches. I'm not looking for Bret Hart, Ric Flair here. I'm looking to watch the boss's son get thrown away.
Almost die in front of his children.
Yeah, that was interesting because Shane's kids and his wife were literally, I mean, they were on the floor, but they were direct sight of us. And
we saw them when they came in.
Yeah.
That was
watching those guys on top of the cage, KO, thinking about the frog splash off the top was just speaks volumes of his wrestling psychology brilliance. Kevin Owens, watch this guy. Watch his every move in a match. And he has the crowd in the palm of his damn hands. I want to see him back in the title picture. Why has he not been in the SmackDown title picture once?
And maybe he is now. Maybe that's the next program for Jinder, is Jinder and KO.
Yeah, because KO kind of isn't your normal heel.
He's an anti-hero.
Yeah, he's
He's Deadpool.
He's taken what CM Punk tried to be and made it more vicious in WWE.
Hey, by the way, can we just throw this out there? If you're at a live show and you're chanting CM Punk,
you're dumb.
You're a stupid piece of shit.
You're dumb. Stop it. That's so embarrassing.
Don't. You should feel bad. Your parents should feel bad.
Like, just use your heads. Be more creative than that.
Be better. We
be
want
better people. But Shane KO, what a spot. Sami Zayn, spoiler time if you haven't seen it and you don't want to know the main event. 3-2-1. Sami pulls KO off the table when Shane jumps off. Shocking moment. Shane bounced off the table. I showed my girlfriend the gif that you took.
Yeah.
And she's like, did every bone in that guy's body break? I don't understand what happened.
Check thecourtofnerds.com. Yeah. Ben's review is great, featuring my gif, which was somehow perfect.
It was perfect.
I was so like worried and nervous, and like my phone was almost dead, but I got that shot in, and you can clearly see Sammy. The WWE couldn't have pulled this any more perfectly. Couldn't have pulled this off any more perfectly. No one, including the wrestlers, the superstars, I'm sorry, verbiage. The superstars also have no clue what's happening.
It's amazing.
I am going to guess we get Sami Zayn to open SmackDown tonight with an explanation for his actions. And Ben, if I can speculate and we can confirm whether or not I'm right, I think Sami goes with the Shane, Kevin had to win or this never ends. I know Kevin. I've known him for years. This never ends if he doesn't win.
I think it's going to be Kevin got in Sammy's head saying Shane's holding you back the same way he's holding me back.
That's also true.
He took my U.S. title. He never even gave you a chance since you came to this show.
Sammy never really did have a shot at
anything. Sammy's never done anything on SmackDown. He's had a couple solid matches, but he's never done anything of substance.
All right.
He's a world-class talent. Him and Ty Dillinger deserve so much better.
Yes, they do. And Daniel Bryan has said as much.
Yeah.
So, you know who else deserves better? Just really quick, and I know we need to move on.
It's okay.
Breezango deserves better.
Yeah, you know what? Yeah.
Tyler Breeze can fucking wrestle.
Yes, he can. If you go back and watch some of the original NXT TakeOvers,
when he was Prince Pretty?
He's some of the highlights of those shows.
Yeah. He's really good.
Mm-hmm.
And the fashion files are great.
Yeah.
Great. So again, love those guys. Love what they're doing. Love WWE for finding a way to get guys screen time, even if they don't have matches for them.
Exactly.
Speaking of guys that are going to get plenty of screen time, spoiler alert, in 3, 2, 1, The Shield is back, bitches.
Yeah. It appears that The Shield is back. They got shirts. They're in the main event at TLC.
They got shirts.
They got shirts again.
Now, Ben, do you see the irony in having The Shield reunite at the same event where they made their debut?
Yeah.
Almost 2 years to the day later.
Yeah.
Is it 3 years now?
No, man. It's been like 3 or 4.
Wow, I'm old as shit.
Yeah, because they debuted helping CM Punk retain his title over Ryback.
Remember Ryback?
Remember CM Punk? 35 idiots in Detroit do. Oh, sorry. That's way off topic.
I liked it though.
But the Shield's back. If you didn't watch Raw last night, they teamed up to beat the crap out of Braun on Miz TV. It's a 3-on-4 handicap match. Shield versus Braun, The Bar, and The Miz.
What? Why? Why?
This is why I've had trouble, admittedly, and this is why That's So Braven has dipped. I really struggled with weekly wrestling shows since SummerSlam and since WrestleMania because of Brock Lesnar. There's no champion on Raw. It's just merchandise. Just like, I don't know, like Enzo Amore getting as much time as he gets. Like, freaking The Shield coming back together with Roman Reigns. I don't know. It's
rushed and it's forced, and it feels like the WWE is trying to sell tickets and merch.
I know. It's just like, what is going on with Brock? He's not going to be at the TLC pay-per-view. Why does he need the belt? Why can't he just come back and be that big name that co-main events every show he wants to appear on? He doesn't need the belt. You're just hurting your storylines. The belt is an easy storyline, and you are struggling with storylines.
Fix it.
This is common sense. You guys get paid to do this.
Fix your problems.
Brock is a star. He doesn't need the belt.
Yeah, he doesn't. He does, just like Undertaker didn't need the belt.
No.
All right, we got to wrap this up. We got people waiting on us. We got to go to SmackDown
Live. SmackDown Live.
Yep, we will catch up with you guys soon.
Yeah, welcome back to That's So Braven. We're going to try and do this a thing if WWE allows it.
I just stopped talking.
Hey
guys, it's Drew, letting you know that Tom and Chi is proud to sponsor the Court of Nerds and Grand Rapids Comic Con. Stop by their setup in the main hall for $4 grilled cheese classics with fresh tomatoes, mozzarella, and gooey cheddar. $4 barbecue and bacon grillers, and $4 GCDs, Tom and G's fantastic grilled cheese donut. Top it all off with the grilling joke. Comic-Con special GCD with blueberry mascarpone, graham crackers, and pop rocks. Eat what's fun. Tom and G's.